I hope my good friend Bill Gordon down at Blacksburg enjoyed this wonderful old song. It's been one of my favorites over the years. We're just so happy his wife said he was feeling a whole lot better after a serious operation. Last Tuesday we talked to you about people being blinded or the gospel being hid from people because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And my, how the eyes of people are being blinded now. There's so many things out in the world to lure people on away from the spiritual things. This morning, I want us to think about people being blinded by religion. My, it startles your mind. It does mine. I know I was visiting down in Huntsville, Alabama a few weeks ago, sitting out in the front yard, a fine, educated, thinking man come along carrying the mail. And I went out and began to talk to him, and I asked him about religion and about the Lord, his relationship to the Lord. And he didn't have no relationship with the Lord. He said, I've just been looking at all these denominations that we have here in Huntsville, Alabama, and all the translations of the Bible. He said, I'm left in utter confusion. And just a little few, about a mile from where I was talking to this mailman, my daughter-in-law was riding a little 7-year-old boy down the street, and in this street, a little over a mile long, there's 7 different denomination churches. And as she rode down this street, she told the boy that this is the Methodist church, this is the Presbyterian church, this is the Baptist, and on it went. So she named all 7 of them churches, that little 7-year-old boy. And he looked up at her and asked him, said, which one do you think Jesus belongs to? Even the little boys is in confusion about our religious system and our religion of this day. With all the translations of the Bible, and we got such a big missionary program. I wonder how the people in Africa feel when you tell them about all the many translations of Bible we're using in our churches over here and all the denominations. It would leave anybody in confusion. You wonder where did it all come from anyway. By the time we stopped and thought about the awful condition we're in, first religion is concerned. We're in utter confusion, I think, according to the Bible. I see people just joining people in with religion and getting them to make up their mind and join the church. It's really startled your mind when you read the Bible and see what the Bible says. Because did it ever occur to you that the gospel is a mystery to the mind of a natural person that's never been enlightened by the Spirit of God? This morning I want us to think about the mystery of the gospel. I feel like many people are being deceived into religion just by believing with their minds. And true salvation comes through believing in your heart and in your spirit and in your conscience. God has to deal with that inner man. Because you have a fleshly body, inside of that fleshy body you have a soul and you have a spirit. And it's only through that spirit that we can deal with the eternal God. Paul in Ephesians wrote that he wanted to try to make the mystery of the gospel He wanted to enlighten them about the mystery of the gospel. And it's a mystery to the natural mind, and all the religions and translations of the Bible can only bring the natural man to confusion. He might join in religion and pretend to be a religious person and still have a hardened heart inside of him and be full of sin and iniquity. It's impossible to understand the mystery of the gospel with the natural mind that we inherited when we was born. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I'd like to add a little bit. If the gospel be hid this morning, it's hid to them that are in confusion in religion. And I've met so many people that joined in religion. I asked them, have you ever experienced being born of the Spirit of God? They were still in utter confusion. In Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, 14th verse, it says, but the natural man, the natural descendant of Adam, received not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. And the Bible is a spiritual book. Until he's been enlightened or awakened by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God has to move upon us and enlighten our minds, that in the inner man, to communicate with the soul of a man. It says that he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Unto a natural man that's never been awakened by the Spirit of God, it seems like foolishness or a mystery to him. Neither can he know them. He can never know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Spirit of God has to move upon a person and enlighten his mind and awaken his heart to his sinful condition. The Spirit of God is like the wind, according to the Bible. It moves upon whom he wills. And yet each one listening to me, the wooing of the Spirit of God is, it's only when he's wooing the heart and your soul down in inner man that a man can become reconciled to God. The Spirit of God calls and convicts whom he wills. And I wondered why in the old-timey revival years ago, me and several other young boys was in revival, and the Spirit of God came and moved upon me. It didn't seem to move upon them or anyone else, and brought me to repentance and wakened me to my awful lost condition. And there in that simple service, I found the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came into my heart and into my life. And that's what really hearing the gospel is, and understanding. You can only understand the gospel after you experience it. You can never understand it with the natural mind. The only way a sinner will ever understand the gospel or to hear the gospel with his spiritual ear and conscience in the heart is through the inner man, the workings of the Spirit of God upon the spirit of a natural man. The Bible said God is a spirit, and the only way we can worship him is in spirit and in truth. Our dealings with God has to come from that inner man, not the natural outside man. When we deal with God, it is with our spirits, not our fleshly minds. When when the Spirit caused the natural descendant of Adam in repentance, that natural man will realize his guilty condition, then the Spirit of God will reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to him and as his high priest. He'll bring that sinner to conviction that he's guilty and lost before God. Then the Spirit reveals the Lord Jesus Christ, his high priest, that can go before the God of heaven and convince him that the Lord Jesus Christ has already went before the God of heaven with his own blood to make atonement for the redeem of poor lost descendant of Adam from his sins, and to redeem him from that awful second death. And then he'll experience a new birth, and he'll deliver him from that awful second death when sinners will have to die forsaken by God throughout all eternity. So let me beg each one of you, listen to me this morning, that you might feel with your heart and conscience, if you feel the wounds of the Spirit of God. It's only through what the Lord Jesus Christ did that you can ever become reconciled to the God of heaven and his laws. Because the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law on the cross of Calvary and died there in the center place, because the law of God says a soul that sins, it shall die, that awful second death that I'm talking to you about. And it's wonderful to think that when the Holy Spirit comes in and changes the inner man, and a man finds pardon and forgiveness, then he is a new creature. He'll have a new heart, a soft, tender heart. And he'll have a new mind that loves new things. And that's a wonderful experience. The greatest experience a man can have from the cradle to the grave. And then after a man experiences that, he will give each one of you that would experience this under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He'd give you assurance of life everlasting, where you'd live in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all eternal ages, and would take the fear of death and eternity away from each one of us. Then you'll begin to understand the mystery of the gospel. Then we are to hold the mystery of faith of the gospel in a pure conscience and a pure heart. We want to keep our conscience pure after this happened to us, and keep our hearts with all diligence, the way the Bible says, lest we sin and rebel against God. We read in the Bible, without controversy, great is the mystery of the gospel. It's the greatest thing in all the world to experience the mystery of the gospel in the new birth. And then you can understand what it is to live godly and soberly and righteously in this world. That'll be the greatest desire in your heart. Then we can understand God was manifested in Christ in the flesh. That God came down in the flesh, and so we could become reconciled to God. Not only did he come down to this world in the flesh, according to 1 Timothy 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, that God was manifested in Christ when he come in the flesh into the world, because the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. Christ was justified in the Spirit, because the Bible said the Spirit was given unto him without measure. Therefore he lived a sinner's life here upon this earth, so he could redeem you and me. And he has seen of angels, they ministered unto him after his great temptation in the wilderness. And I'm so glad that this Lord Jesus Christ that came into the world preached unto the Gentiles, the lowly people of the earth, because he was a meek and lowly person. And I like to read about where he come to that Samaritan woman at the well and preached the gospel to her, and she experienced the gospel, and then she went out, told people, said, come, and began to point them to the Lamb of God, where she had found forgiveness and pardon. Come and see a man who told me all things I ever did. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to us when he comes. He'll reveal all our past sins and show us our terrible condition before God. But then we find that pardon and peace and forgiveness, and that woman found it at the well. Then she want to tell other people about it. And he was believed on in the world by Zacchaeus and so many people, and was received, died and was buried and rose again according to the scripture, and received up into glory. And this morning, if you're a born again person, it makes me happy to think he went away to prepare a place for you and me yonder, all the redeemed people that's been born and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And then he's coming again one of these days to receive us unto himself. And I just want to praise his name for calling me in repentance, and that I experienced that new birth, and I'm waiting his coming again to take us and all of his children are to think of that place that he's been preparing for us. And my prayer for each one listening this morning is you might become reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and become part of the family of God, that he's up there preparing a home that lasts for all eternity. As I bring this to a close.